In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. It's known that the telecom industry maintained a $1 trillion propaganda campaign, arguing there can't be a mechanism of action from non-thermal electromagnetic fields, such as from cell phone radiation emission, to produce biological effects. The propaganda argues that the non-heating radiation is too weak, but that's not true, according to the suppressed 40 years of research conducted by doctors and scientists countering the propaganda. Imagine for a minute what $1 trillion worth of propaganda could actually buy. It could be why there isn't accurate reporting of cases and or deaths related to cancer from wireless microwaves and cell phone use. Instead, there are teams of analysts working on ways to inject the right amount of misinformation into daily entertainment, gently messaging how safe and convenient a 5G microwaved world will be. We hear from a range of voices speaking about the human health impacts of 5G microwave radiation and how 5G infrastructure is being forced onto populations as millions of 5G cell towers are quietly installed on utility poles, in public buildings, schools, on bus stop shelters, public parks, national parks, and on federally owned land. Among the issues is how the United States Congress and the Federal Communications Commission have abused the trust of the population by not conducting and presenting proper biological safety tests for fifth-generation wireless microwave exposure. It is known that the human health impacts brought by exposure to fifth-generation wireless microwaves, for example, include cumulative and permanent neurological, cognitive, and reproduction health damage. Voices in this montage include past guests, Professor Martin Paul, Amy Worthington, Douglas Rushkoff, and Mary Hardy. Also included are those speaking in public forums and city council meetings in cities such as Houston, Santa Rosa, and New Orleans.
The big game changer is that 5G will use much higher frequency bands than previously thought viable for mobile broadband and other applications. Such millimeter wave signals have physical properties that are both a limitation and a strength. They tend to travel best in narrow and straight lines, and they do not go through physical objects as well. This means that very narrow signals in an urban environment tend to bounce around buildings and other obstacles, making it difficult to connect to a moving point. But brilliant engineers have developed new antennas that can aim and amplify signals, coupled with sophisticated processing that allows a moving device to pick up all of the signals that are bouncing around and create one coherent connection.
Scientists have known for decades the damage inflicted by any kind of radiation, whether it's microwave, non-ionizing microwave, or the ionizing radiation, or the millimeter radiation, which is between microwave radiation used for wireless technology and the X radiation.
Now, to make this work, the 5G build-out is going to be very infrastructure intensive, requiring massive deployment of small cells.
Cancer clusters are found around cell towers. 5G will place a cell tower every two to ten homes. Telecommunication industry executives have admitted they have never conducted a single piece of research on 5G for human safety.
It is the capacity to use this new capability that will determine what our future looks like. Yes, 5G will connect the Internet of Everything. If something can be connected, it will be connected in a 5G world.
All of these radiations tend to damage DNA and the chromosome structure of our bodies, and these little damaged DNA groupings and areas do not always repair properly. In fact, microwave radiation is known to shut down the repair mechanisms of the body. And so those little DNA-damaged areas in our body are just little cancer time bombs.
But with the predictions of hundreds of billions of microchips connected in products from pill bottles to plant waterers, you can be sure of only one thing. The biggest Internet of Things application has yet to be imagined.
The Internet of Things is the infrastructure and design for all of our wireless technologies. What they're saying is it's higher capacity for data transmissions to carry the massive amount of data that will be needed for this infrastructure. They're thinking about driverless cars, faster internet streaming. Basically, they're trying to sell it like that, like you need faster technology. What has not been looked at is the potential health impacts and what that's going to mean for not just us, but for the pollinators and the bees. You know, we know that 3G and 4G have had a devastating impact to our pollinators. And there are studies coming out showing that these fields interrupt the natural systems and natural frequencies that our pollinators depend on. 5G and the Internet of Things is this infrastructure that is essentially bathing the population in this microwave radiation. And again, this is why we have to come out so hard and fight this. I would encourage all of your listeners to go check out the In Power movement, because they have set up templates and a way for us to counter and bring notice of liability to those who are in some way involved in allowing these infrastructures to get rolled out. So that could be your city council. That could be your state representatives. This is where people have the information from In Power movement or Take Back Your Power. And that's like a ball that you can pick up and run with. And I encourage everyone to do that, to get educated and then just take the information that they have at these sites and go use it, because it's just, it's fact-based and it's something that you can do right away. You don't have to wait.
Yes, 5G will connect the unconnected and compete with the uncompetitive. Millions of Americans can't access high-speed connectivity because it's too costly to run the fiber to the home. Verizon CEO Lowell McAdam has begun speaking lately about using 5G connectivity to expand high-speed broadband service to rural areas. Unlike some countries, we do not believe that we should spend the next couple of years studying what 5G should be or how it should operate and how to allocate spectrum based on those assumptions. Like the examples I gave earlier, the future has a way of inventing itself. Turning innovators loose is far preferable to expecting committees and regulators to define the future.
Yes, Dr. Paul, you stated in the report, quote, "I expect that the deterioration in brain function that we are already seeing will seal our fate if we fail to act rapidly and vigorously. Our collective brain function may become completely incapable of dealing with such a mega crisis situation." So with this statement, it's logical to conclude that unless something is done to stop the 5G deployment, we will witness faster paced deterioration in human brain function within a shorter period of time.
Yes, and I think it'll be much shorter. And that's exactly right. I think we have to stop 5G.
1.8 gigahertz used by smartphones, 24 hours of that radiation is equivalent. The tissue damage it does is equivalent to the tissue damage inflicted by 1,600 chest x-rays. And that came from 12 groups of scientists working through the REFLEX study for the economic, the European Union. We have to accept that as reality. They spent a lot of time confirming what we have just discussed.
Okay, so what do we know about this? As I said before, we know that there are all these effects on male fertility, female fertility, increased spontaneous abortion, lowered levels of the three sex hormones, and lowered libido. You know, and there are changes in the structure of the testis and in the structure of the ovaries that have been documented in animals. And they those are probably the main effects which tend to develop in a cumulative and eventually irreversible fashion. Okay. Now, what do we know about what's going on in human populations? We know that sperm counts in every single technologically advanced country on Earth have dropped to below 50% of normal. So there's already been a big impact there. We know that reproduction in that same set of countries has dropped to well below replacement levels in every single country with one single exception. So we're, and roughly speaking, you know, the average reproduction is something like 73% of replacement level. So that means that we're looking at declines in babies, particularly if this gets worse and worse, be more and more severe, you know, we'll see huge declines in birth rates and eventually in population.
My name is Derek Bros. I'm a journalist here in the city of Houston. I work for KPFT 90.1. I have a radio show Monday afternoons, and I work for the local news as well. I've emailed each of you, including the mayor, the last three weeks in a row, including this morning, related to the implementation of 5G technology here in the city. I'm hoping those didn't go to your spam folders and maybe somebody saw them. But if not, please do check your spam folders. I sent one this morning. And last week, I was able to talk to the mayor a little bit at the unveiling of the world's first 5G customer here in the city of Houston. And the mayor expressed a desire to move forward, that the city wants to be number one. We want to be number one before New York, before Austin, before all these kinds of things. A lot of pride in moving the city forward with the implementation of 5G and all that it might bring, all the new technologies. However, what I've been sending to you guys in emails is the fact that there are a number of privacy and health concerns related to the rollout of 5G technology. This technology involves putting in what they're calling small cells. Small cells only travel, the waves only travel about 500 feet, which means they need to be installed nearly everywhere, buildings, poles, things like that. So this is going to involve the implementation of a lot more infrastructure, and along with that, the potential danger related to a number of health concerns.
Dr. Devra Davis, writing in her Secret History of the War on Cancer, and by the way, she's an expert from the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, she says, and I'm going to quote her, "Modern America's annual exposure to diagnostic machines is equal to that released by a nuclear accident that spewed the equivalent of hundreds of Hiroshimas across much of Russia and Eastern Europe." She says even a properly calibrated CAT scan of a child's stomach can be equivalent to 600 chest x-rays, while one of an infant's head can be equivalent to a few thousand. She says imagine a lifetime of emergency room visits with repeated scans, and it becomes clear that these risks could create a major cancer burden of the future.
So I'll just briefly list off to you guys some of the information I've already sent to you, and please do check your emails. The Los Angeles Times 2 years reported on a study showing a rise in tumors related to rats and cell phone technology, the same technology that 5G will operate on. I'm looking at a Kaiser Permanente study from December 2017 that was published in Scientific Reports that shows in San Francisco hundreds of pregnant women that were near what's known as magnetic field non-ionizing radiation that's associated with cell phones were at 2.72 times more likely to have miscarriages.
Because the frequency used in 5G will be much higher than what has been used for 2G, 3G, and 4G, transmission distances will be much shorter and the number of small cell sites required will be several times greater than the 308,000 macro cell towers already in place around the country, and that's from Angela Tsang. And I just want to bring up the point about how the town on Long Island was not consulted about the erection of all of these sites, these little antenna sites on their lampposts and all over their neighborhood. And when they did wake up one morning to find all of that in place, after not being consulted about whether they wanted it or being warned that it was going to be in place, they did start a protest. I guess if listeners want to look that up, what was that town called again? Do you remember, Jeff?
I believe that's Lake Success, Long Island.
And yesterday, I saw a 5G wireless tower being installed. It's already been installed at the Circle Food Store. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, Circle I was there Food? Earlier.
Okay. So the technician that was there installing it, I just happened to, by accident, the light stopped. I asked him, I said, hey, by the way, I got a question for you. Guy comes across, he's got a red jacket, red shirt on. He works with the company installing it. I said, that's a 5G wireless tower. He said, yeah. I said, is 5G wireless dangerous for us? Is this EMF dangerous for humans? He goes, 5G wireless, he said, EMF radiation is dangerous for everybody. The second question I have has to do with page 3, paragraph 2. Crowd control is being approved as part of this agenda item. Now, crowd control, as I understand it, is EMF radiation weapons used to disperse crowds. Now, my question is that what that means or not? You don't know?
No, I disagree with you. I don't think that's what that means.
What does it mean then?
I mean, we can sit down and talk about it.
Well, I was in Washington, D.C., helping to try to educate the Congress. I'm not sure that was terribly effective, but it was. Working with a couple of people to try to do that, we were able to set up an appointment for me to give a PowerPoint presentation at the FCC. And so I decided, yeah, that's a very important thing. I need to do it. The FCC has been not just ignoring all of these effects, but, you know, actively pushing these technologies. There was a 6-chapter document that was produced from the Harvard Safra Institute for Ethics, which strongly argued that the FCC was what they called a captured agency, that is, it had been captured by the industry that it purports to regulate. You know, and all the evidence that we have about the FCC is consistent with that. And so I thought, well, I should present this. Let me just say in your introduction for this to the FCC thing, you raised another point that I think is a very important one that we need to discuss with your listeners. And that is the following. There is a huge literature which shows that pulsed EMFs, EMFs that pulse up and down rapidly, are, in most cases, much more biologically active than are non-pulsed EMFs, that is, EMFs that are just constant in their intensity. And one of the reasons why that's important is because all of these wireless communication devices communicate via pulsations. And so that means they're potentially, and I believe actually, much more dangerous. Let me just say, our safety guidelines are based on the notion that all we have to do is look at average intensities. And yet we know from these studies on pulsation that average intensities tell you almost nothing. Because you look at different EMFs of the same average intensity, and one of them pulsing a lot and the other one's not, and you get very different effects. So it's not the case that average intensities tell you anything, but the basis of our safety guidelines are entirely based on the assumption that the average intensity is the only thing that's important, and we know that's false. So there's all kinds of falsehoods involved here, and the entire regulatory structure is bogus because of that. And that's terribly, terribly important. This is, you know, we really don't have any regulation that has any science behind it at all. In general, the smarter the devices are, the more they pulse, and so the more dangerous they are. That's true whether you're talking about, you know, smartphones or smart meters or anything else that's smart. Yeah. They're really dumb.
I can see everybody's here right now is using wireless technology, and we're going at quite a fast pace. But I don't believe anyone has stopped to consider, well, is there a health risk to this? And I'm in an experiment myself because I am sensitive to it. Right now my heartbeat is, my blood pressure is very high. I have to stay in my home that is totally wired, and it's kind of my sanctuary. And the same as our business, it's totally wired, and we need to keep it that way. I also want to emphasize that in May 2011, the World Health Organization listed this as a Class 2B potential carcinogen. The only thing that kept it from being a Class 2A was disagreement among the scientists. That disagreement's no longer there. It probably will be classified as a 2A carcinogen.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Fantastic to be here.
Consumers are going to want to know, in these markets,
yeah,
how is this going to be different?
The difference is that suddenly you are cordless. It's a wireless coming into your home instead of a fiber or any other type of cable. So, of course, it's a more efficient way to deploying broadband to your home.
How much faster?
You know, you don't need to dig. It's just a signal coming from a radio base station nearby. So it's a very different way to do it.
Just want to talk about also the insurance. The Lloyd's of London has canceled, and all their affiliates have canceled any insurance for harm, personal harm, due to wireless devices. That's a fact. They have canceled it. So I ask you, if at some point, as with asbestos and tobacco, you face a liability action to this, you can't say that you unknowingly allowed these 5G terminals supposed to go in. That we are aware, the evidence is out there. Scientists have actually very clearly proved cell phone use leads to certain glaucoma cancers. And this is much stronger than a cell phone.
Interesting. So 5G home is what this is called for
that's
now.
The first
rolled out in these four cities,
yeah,
and up to, it sounds like, 60 times faster than Verizon's 4G LTE service now.
Yeah, that's the promise of 5G, and of course the whole design was that it's 100x quicker and faster than 4G.
I want to talk about 5G. Angie Kern, one of the world's leading experts on electromagnetic radiation, called 5G, and I want to quote what she said, the biggest crime against life ever perpetrated against human species. We are sacrificing our children on the altar of progress for the God called technology. The United Nations, the World Health Organization, and the European Union have issued an international appeal for a moratorium on 5G. Cancer clusters are found around cell towers. 5G will place a cell tower every two to ten homes. Telecommunication industry executives have admitted they have never conducted a single piece of research on 5G for human safety. Yet thousands of peer-reviewed research studies show serious effects to the human body from 5G radiation. Republican Senator Patrick Kobach from Michigan, a former telecommunications expert, a microwave specialist who worked on the space station, has warned of 5G. And he says 5G does not help rural broadband at all. And he says 5G does not help rural broadband at all and causes carcinogenic tumors from DNA damage.
So it's unknowingly going on people's homes outside where children live. We don't know it. I know when TELUS sent their representative to talk to me in October, he mentioned to me that the mayor in Calgary had put a six-month moratorium on any installation of 5G until he could look into it and have policies that these were set far away from homes, that these 5G, they're like cell towers. And we've all experienced the cell tower controversies around here, the one that went up, that was going to go up in Aramata. We know people get quite alarmed. Well, this is going up, and this is just as worse. It's going to be a lot more radiation. So I think we need to take a step back and allow us all to learn a little bit more about this. There's so much that we can't cover in this small forum right here. Thank you.
I asked you the question, is there going to be an opt-out for somebody that doesn't want to have 5G and or wireless too close to them because they have a sensitivity to radiation? Quote, your answer was, quote, certainly there should be, was what you said, quote, we live in America, unquote. Obviously, that's not an affirmative yes or no answer. So is there going to be an opt-out for people sensitive to EMF? Yes or no? That's it. Those are my questions.
I'll probably give you the same question I gave you last time as we are in the beginning of mapping out this process. Is that it? So is that you're going to just keep asking that question until we get to it? Or,
okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Until we get it answered.
Sure. Fair enough.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
5G, the whole concept of 5G is to use these millimeter wave higher frequency. These are much higher frequencies than the microwave frequencies that we're already commonly exposed to. And the idea is that they want to use these because they can pulse much more than microwaves can, and therefore carry much, much more information per unit time. Okay, so in other words, you can just carry huge amounts of information with this stuff. There are several problems with this concept, and one of them is that it turns out that when you go to these millimeter waves, they are much more absorbed by materials than are microwaves, which tend to go through things pretty quick, pretty easily. And for that reason, it will be necessary to use much, much more in the way of antennae. We're talking about tens of millions of these antennae, as opposed to, you know, the microwave stuff where we've got, I forget, something like 350,000, which is still huge. But
mm-hmm. Dr. Paul, is that tens of millions worldwide?
Yes, but it's not just, you know, the numbers are actually uncertain at this point. So, you know, this is kind of a part of the problem with 5G is that it's a concept. It's not really a well-defined set of devices. So we don't really know for sure what we're going to end up with this stuff. And different companies may do it very differently.
Talk to us about the hardware associated with this, because even though consumers in their home, they might not notice a big difference other than faster speeds, right? It is going to require more cell towers, more hardware, perhaps away from the home to get that faster signal.
Yeah, but we are building it basically on our existing grid in the beginning here. So I think there's not so much more. It's, of course, new radio technology coming up. And then, of course, ultimately, you're going to have Wi-Fi at home. But you get the signal coming from the outdoor, not the cable that you need to dig or and all of that. And ultimately, the North Star for us is to have the self-install. You can order it online, and you can install it yourself, and then you're up running having broadband at home.
What kind of investment has 5G been for the company?
I think we have been investing in 5G for many years. It's just that you need fiber, you need a lot of things that we're investing in. The electronics we're buying right now, because it's maturing the software, the 5G software right now. So it's a normal cycle of investment for a Verizon company, nothing unusual.
Not sucking a ton of money out of the R&D spend.
No, I think it's a normal investment. I mean, if you look at 2016, 17, and 2018, we're in the same range of CapEx in between all these years. I think the difference is I have so many more business cases and use cases for 5G compared to on 4G, for example.
Well, one of those use cases you mentioned, autonomous driving. Yeah. How poised do you think 5G is to disrupting and changing the transportation industry?
I think it will take some time, and you have different stages of autonomous driving. And I think we're going to see that over stage, and probably that's going to take a little bit longer, where you have totally autonomous cars, but connectivity to cars, starting to give them information, start to give them avoiding hazards and all of that is happening. And we're going to use the mobile network over time as they so low latency.
And that's a situation where speed is of the utmost importance.
The
right?
Latency is the most important. Speed is less of importance, but the latency, so you can ping up and see has it happened or something, where is the map going, so the car is going to the right, not to the left, sort of.
The many products that, despite their unpopularity, are pushed into the public domain. Google Glass is one example I can think of. In the past few years, self-driving cars. And I don't know if there was ever a public demand for a self-driving car. Is there a connection to Agenda 21, smart vehicles and smart cities here?
Well, that's a very good observation, Jeff. You know, and I think your point that you make about the self-driving car, and I, you know, tutor on a course where this came up as a subject last year, and one of the points that was made about the self-driving car is that people wouldn't like it because of the loss of control. That's exactly what we're talking about, a loss of control. So, yes, this idea that Google might be, or whoever it might be, pushing a driverless car does indeed fit into this idea that, you know, you live in a city, you're transported around the place. You know, some cities now, as we know, the center of the city, that no cars are allowed. Certainly the city nearest to me has pedestrian areas right in the center where you can't have many cars, if any, or you can only take them in there to do deliveries and things. So we've seen that increasing trend here in the UK where car transport has been restricted, and now we've had this thing with taxis as well. There's a chap that I know that works as a cab, you call them cabs, he works as a cab driver in London, and he has had certain controls placed on him and certain guidelines that have been put into place. And when he read my article, because I've talked to this chap over several years, and he realized that these regulations that have gradually been coming into his, you know, area of work with his driving his cab, they fit in with the Agenda 21 type methodology to basically shut out independent operators, and you'll just have like corporate cab firms, like this cab firm called Uber, which is operating in Europe. It's a big corporate firm which runs taxis through web pages. So you can go onto a web page and, you know, put in your details, and it'll give you a taxi and so forth. So that all fits in with this monitoring, tracking, surveillance agenda. Same with driverless cars. If you've got a driverless car, it's going to be probably logged into a web server somewhere, getting its navigation data and its traffic data from a satellite, and probably uploading stuff back. Much as if you have a mobile phone and you switch on your Google, you know, thing on your mobile phone, your Google Map thing on there, your position is uploaded to Google if you've got it switched on, which you have to, I think, to have the GPS running, and so that they can use your positional data to update their systems. So you are being tracked, you know. So that all fits in to this smart grid agenda, this smart type of grid agenda, definitely.
It's interesting to me because instead of free energy and maybe hydrogen-driven vehicles, as you were discussing with Bob Lazar's work, they're developing cars to drive for you, and maybe some are electric hybrids, maybe some use straight gasoline, but no transition into a free energy system. And then the past guest was saying that another argument, I think, government agencies make and corporations make is that they're millimeter waves, especially for 5G, and they will only penetrate millimeters of the skin. But this professor said, no, there is the magnetic element of the electromagnetic field, and that goes all the way through the body. And one example he gave was a case in Switzerland where there were cows in a field around cellular towers, and the calves were being born with cataracts. The microwaves went all the way through the body, not just the millimeter. And he was pointing that out as there will be a serious problem with 5G.
Yep, and the other serious problem for those of us who would like to stop it is these industries are considered too big to fail. You know, they have the power right now, not us. So then the solution will be people starting to wear foil hats and stuff. I mean, actually good, you know, I'm sure they'll have Faraday cage clothing that you can wear to try to block out some of it. And then do you put it on your child or do you try to move out? Or, I mean, there's already a law that says that you're not allowed to contest a cell phone tower based on health.
That's in the Telecommunications Act.
So there are lots and lots of questions about it, but in general, the idea that you've got lots of what they call small cell antennas, which doesn't mean they're low intensity things at all. These are going to use a lot of energy so that you've got enough stuff that can actually penetrate into our houses and be picked up and, you know, by our devices. That's the whole idea of this thing. And what that means is that we are going to be exposed to extremely high levels of this, particularly when we're outside and we don't have any protection at all. So that's the first thing. And of course, you know, when you're talking about putting this into space, it means that every single organism on Earth will be exposed to this stuff. Okay, so that's the first thing. So because these are highly absorbed, and the absorption generally involves the interaction with electrically charged groups, and because the way in which the VGCCs are activated is through the interaction with electrically charged groups, we have reason to think that the 5G EMFs will be particularly active for that reason, you know, because they're going to interact with these charged groups very heavily. The second thing is that they're going to be very highly pulsed, and as I say, that's highly problematic as well. You know, so all the prediction is that this is going to be really, really horrendous for both of those reasons. The plan is to put out tens of millions of these antennae without doing one single biological safety test. That's the plan that's been approved by the Congress, by the FCC, by agencies in a number of other countries, and it's totally insane, in my judgment. It's crazy. We need to go into something else here that's important for people to understand. One of the things the industry has claimed is that 5G will be absorbed largely in the outer millimeter or two of our bodies, and therefore it won't affect us very deeply. Okay? That's what they're claiming. That statement is both true and untrue, and I'll explain why I say that. EMFs are made up of both electrical parts and magnetic parts. And what's been known for decades is that the electrical parts tend to be absorbed relatively easily. It's probably true that the electrical parts of the 5G EMFs will not penetrate very far, but the magnetic parts are very highly penetrating. And what's been shown in the case of microwaves, so the industry claims this will only go in about a millimeter, and they've been claiming that the microwaves only go in about a centimeter, and we know that the microwave claims are wrong. And the most dramatic studies that show they're wrong were the studies that were published by Professor Hessig and his colleagues in Switzerland, who showed that pregnant cattle grazing near a cell phone tower in Switzerland produced high numbers of calves with cataracts, newborn calves with cataracts. So what that means is that the microwave radiation from cell phone tower is very highly penetrating, which the industry claims it can't possibly be. And so you have to raise two questions. One is, okay, how do the magnetic fields work? And I think the way they work is the following, that the magnetic fields, you know, they're highly penetrating. When they penetrate into the body, what do? They put forces on electric, on charged groups, on ions that are dissolved in the water in our bodies. And when they do that, they move them. And when they do that, they regenerate the electrical parts of the EMFs. Same frequency, same pulsation pattern, just much lower intensity. But what turns out to be the case, and this is something we haven't talked about, it's also very important, is that the structure that's involved in the activation of the VGCCs, it's a structure called the voltage sensor, has extremely strong forces put on it by these electrical parts of the EMFs. The forces on the voltage sensor has 20 charges, not one. The charges occur in the fatty part of the plasma membrane, okay? And because of that, the forces on those charges are about 120 times higher because of what's called Coulomb's law, because of the effect of the what's called the dielectric constant. And they're about 3,000 times higher because of the high electrical resistance of the plasma membrane, which means that the forces are highly amplified right across the plasma membrane. So for that reason, you multiply 20 times 120 times 3,000, you get 7.2 million. The forces on the voltage sensor are approximately, and this is approximation, these are not precise numbers, approximately 7.2 million times stronger than the forces on singly electrically charged groups in the water, in the aqueous parts of our bodies. So that means that you got really extraordinarily strong forces on these, and you don't need very much. You know, you only need an extraordinarily weak EMF to do this. So I think that what's going to happen with 5G is pretty much the same thing that happens with these microwave frequencies, and that is you'll regenerate the electrical parts, and then you're going to get effects deeply within the body, and that the industry claims that you won't get effects are wrong. Now, let me just say, if you have a doubt about this, what should we be doing? What we should be doing is biological safety testing, and that's exactly what we're not doing.
Yeah, so when they do that, when they say, okay, you're not allowed to protest based on health, who gets a law like that passed and how? Right? That's because we're not in control of government, because government is really in the hands of corporatists at this point. You know, and in some ways, I mean, you know, in some ways, a dysfunctional government owned by criminals who steal the money intended for the agency is better than an agency that makes laws that are designed to hurt people. So if the agency is a bad actor, then I'm almost at the place where I don't mind them to be dysfunctional.
I hear you, because you're thinking about this and you have children, right?
Right.
So what are you thinking about? The 5G thing is coming pretty quickly, like a year from now, the so-called 20,000 satellites in orbit to be put up.
I have really morbid thoughts. I think things like, it's better for her to have had these 14 great years of life and experience and wonder than not to have lived at all.
Because the FCC and the Congress and other bodies have said, hey, we don't need to do this stuff. Now, this is insanity beyond belief. This is totally insane.
It is very insane. I agree with you, because it seems that they're avoiding doing this testing because the market will fall apart when there's a consensus about the harmful effects of EMF. And so when the curtain is pulled back, people would realize the harm that would occur. So instead of doing that, it almost seems like an extermination plan to me.
Well, I think that's what will happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to regret bringing her into this world. And I'm, rather than bemoaning the future that she might be moving into, I want to celebrate and sanctify the experience that she's gotten to have.
In terms of Team Human, do you see people coming together to stop the worst of it?
People coming together would stop the worst of it. Now, that's the whole point of Team Human. You know, you could say the other team, we're talking about, what's the other team? Let's call it Team RF or whatever, Team EMF. It's a good one. I mean, because then what is it? It's people on the earth with their baby cows that have the cataracts gathering together and saying, look at our baby cows. They have cataracts. Now our babies are going to get cataracts too. I mean, what did we do to this place? You know, what did we do? And I mean, gosh, the impact of humans on all the other species is just, I mean, it's so criminal. And I know, I do get in conversations with environmentalists who say, you know, why are you supporting Team Human? Team Humans are the ones that screwed this whole thing up. Humans don't deserve a place. And it's like, yes and no. You know, I get that we did that, but we're alive too.
You know, we can become extinct in something like 5 to 7 years based on impacts on our brain function and reproductive function. What happens when you increase that rate by a factor of 10 or 100, you know, it'll be almost instantaneous. Let me just say one other thing about this. You know, the HESIC studies in Switzerland were done. Switzerland has safety guidelines that are 100 times more stringent than ours. So the cell phone tower that, you know, these cattle were exposed to were, by our standards, very low intensities. And they still have worked very deeply in these cattle to affect the fetus. You know, there are so many things that argue that what we're doing is just absolutely and totally insane. It's just beyond belief that we could even think about doing these things.
You know, we're alive too, and not all the humans did this. You know, a select group of humans, the same ones who were the feudal lords in the medieval times, who were the mean kings in the Renaissance times, are now these kind of robber baron capitalists in modern times. People who are spending 10 or 20% of their money on bomb shelters, on survivalist camps to go live in. People who are asking me, instead of how do I make a better digital future, people who are asking me, should I put my fallout shelter in New Zealand or Alaska? Who want to know, how do I maintain control of my security force after the apocalypse? They're betting on the bad thing. They've given up. So screw them.
5G and cell phones operate off of what is called millimeter wave technology, which affects the skin particularly. So the concern is, with increasing the amount of these towers that are going to be everywhere, small cells, you know, they say they might be as big as a backpack or as big as a fridge, and having them literally littered throughout the city, we don't know what it's going to do. You know, we haven't conclusively found, you know, cancer, for example, but we have found, okay, there's some causal links there, for example, that should be looked at further. But it doesn't seem to be happening. Houston, of course, is proud to be number one, and we're rushing forward. As far as I know, there's been no hearings for the people of Houston. There was no discussion. When I asked the mayor and I asked the CEO of Verizon if they looked into this, both of them told me they were unaware of any studies related to health effects of this. As I said, I've emailed this to you guys because I want you to be aware. I live in this city, and we're all going to have to deal with the results of this. But it's gotten enough attention now that, what I was saying before my time was up, is that Project Censored has named an article by The Nation that was published earlier this year called How Big Wireless Convinced the U.S. That Cell Phones and Wi-Fi Are Safe, that looks at these studies. They've named that their number four top censored story of 2018.
The reason I did this book is to say there is an answer. There is something that you can do, and that's find the others. Engage with other people. That in itself starts the whole ball rolling. Every minute that you spend with another person is a minute you're not buying and selling. It's a minute you're not online. It's a minute you're not being trained by an algorithm. It's a minute that you're restoring your innate capacity for compassion, for intelligence. It's the way that you build a collective mind and establish the rapport and solidarity necessary to actually fight this battle.
I also wanted to let you know that these public meetings that are put together by Nexius and Verizon are actually designed to block the public's point of view. And so we're going to ask that that be changed, and we can change the format of those meetings so that the people can actually submit questions ahead of time and have the Verizon, Nexius, and Santa Rosa people spend some time up front answering those questions. Instead, they had this crazy science fair format where nobody actually heard anything that everybody else was saying. And so it was designed really to not engage. It was really one to hide.
All the EMFs produce similar effects. So, you know, it's the problem with cell phone use, of course, is that the way people use them, you've got them right near your ear and you're getting a lot of, you know, you're getting a lot of radiation from them. And you're also using something, particularly with smartphones, that are highly pulsed. There is some reason to think that the 4G smartphones are probably much more dangerous than the 3G ones, which were already quite dangerous. You know, one of the problems here is that you know, all cell phones are not the same, and you can't just assume they are. So the question about cancer, I think, is the following. The best evidence that cell phones cause cancer are basically, they tend to cause certain types of cancer, and they've been reported over and over again, particularly gliomas, and especially the most aggressive gliomas, which are glioblastomas, and in addition to that, neuromas, which are also called schwannomas, and they occur in the ear, and there are several types that we know about. In general, the parts of, you know, when you look, for instance, at the gliomas that have gone up the most are ones that occur in the part of the brain that's most exposed. And those are the areas that show the biggest increases. The other thing which is important is that you get much higher levels of these tumors on what's called the ipsilateral side of the head, that is the side of the head where you use your cell phone, as opposed to the contralateral side, the other side. There are effects that relate to, you know, to the actual intensity of the exposures. And so it's hard to see any other explanation for that pattern where the ipsilateral effects are much higher than the contralateral effects, other than the obvious one, namely that cell phones, probably also cordless phones, cause cancer. You know, the industry makes all kinds of arguments and they pick out a little bit of stuff that, you know, argues for that, but when you look at the evidence as a whole is very clear. And let me just say, the other thing which is important about this is we have the DNA effects. And we know there are DNA effects that are occurring, and we know those DNA effects have important roles in causing cancer. So what the industry likes to do is separate things out and just look at one thing, you know, cherry pick one or two studies that sort of argue for what they want to argue for, and ignore everything else. And of course, that's not science.
I did spend a lot of time with the Verizon attorney. And so he buttonholed me early to just try to find out, what's this guy's deal? What's happening? And so what I did tell him is, I said, look, there's some real steps you can take to really get on the better sides of the citizens of Santa Rosa, who are very angry right now because these things are being built. You saw in the Democrat that they were pausing. We have video and photographic evidence of no pause.
Sprint Executive Chairman Marcelo Clower, and he talks about the FCC is looking at potentially allowing the merger of Sprint and T-Mobile, because if they merge together as a single company, it will allow the United States to be the leader in the world in 5G technology. And they actually blocked it at the most recent hearing, or whatever hearing they had, they blocked it because they got all this new information they had to look at.
Antitrust, probably.
So, yeah, so it's possible for this to get stopped, whether it be through the president, through executive order, because the president stopped the Qualcomm merger. You know, so this, you know, there's a possibility this could get stopped. You know, there should be 50 million letters written to the FCC to not allow this merger. So here he is, another one of these monsters. He says, the level of innovation and disruption in the next 30 years is going to be significantly larger than what we have experienced the last 300 years. Companies that use artificial intelligence with the power of 5G to disrupt traditional industries are always going to win. Companies that don't use artificial intelligence will be left behind. So he is saying that there will be more disruption in with industry in the next 30 years than what we have seen in 300 years. And every time there's technological innovation, there's always companies that close down, that fold up, new jobs get created. They're basically saying that there's going to be so many industries and jobs that are going to be lost as a result of this, that if you don't get on board with the AI, you're going to be left out in the dust.
Well, basically, we are responsible for ourselves. If you learn how to protect yourself and you don't take that opportunity, then heaven won't help you. Now, I think each and every one of us are living in a toxic environment, and we have to learn how to take that toxicity out of our environment. Smart meters, 5Gs, electromagnetic fields. Right now, the life force energy within this planet is being lowered simply by, I would say, a design to dumb down people and to eliminate the world population. And there's enough food. We don't need GMOs. We don't need the poisons. We don't need any of that. What we need to do, and what we tried to do with medicine wheels back in the late 80s, we got about 30 farmers put up medicine wheels because they pulled the energy up. We weren't even using orgone energy then. We were just using medicine wheels and tuning them by using paramagnetic rocks around the medicine wheel so farmers wouldn't have to use so much pesticide, so much herbicide, and could actually talk to the trees in the area so that their fungus in them, the roots would interconnect and they could raise the frequency. And by raising that frequency, we raise the frequency within our own bodies to keep us healthy.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.